anyone can build trust with people by creating content long before you actually meet them. And then when you meet them, they think they know you and they already like you because you've created something valuable for them.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Seth Price, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Playster. Seth is going to share with us his background in marketing. We're going to discuss the strategies you as a real estate professional can apply right now to take your marketing to the next level, and how to build an attraction real estate business with content marketing. But before we catch up with Seth, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialized outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
Now, some of you might be familiar with the graphic design tool called Canva, C-A-N-V-A. For those of you who don't know what Canva is, it is essentially, like I said, a graphic design tool for your business. And you don't have to be a graphic designer to use this. It's just drag and drop. It's online. You can just drag and drop images and text onto your templates, whether you're creating images for your blog posts or social media, your website, things like that. Really easy way of doing that. It's user-friendly. Well, Canva have actually just announced that they're releasing Canva for Work. And essentially what this will provide your business with is a suite of templates for things like letterheads, email signatures, the usual things that you would need in a business that you would most likely send off to your graphic designer or your web developer to create, and which can always, we all know, can take some time and be quite costly. So this is just a really great tool for creating things like that in your business. So I certainly encourage you to go and check Canva out. If you haven't seen it before, go to canva.com, C-A-N-V-A.com. Or if you'd like to pre-register for Canva at Work, you can do that at canva.com/work. And I certainly think it's going to be very exciting when they launch this new product. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Seth Price, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Playster. Seth has spent 20 years in digital marketing, consulting for more than 300 companies during that period, including 19 of the Fortune 500. Seth's current endeavor is as VP of Sales and Marketing at Playster, providing social media and content marketing advice and counsel to tens of thousands of real estate professionals and brands. Seth, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Josh. I'm excited to be here.
No, the pleasure's all mine. It's a real pleasure to have you join us all the way from sunny Boston today, and thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, no worries.
But before we get into a few questions, Seth, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of your business?
So I am, you know, like in every sort of average dad. I've got four kids, a loving wife who tolerates my long work hours. I love entrepreneurship and startups. And, you know, what we do here at Playster is really facilitate, you know, what I consider to be a lot of individual people that are trying to grow their businesses. So we focus on the residential real estate space. We make it really simple to get online. And so the starting point for that is generally a website. So, you know, very low cost to entry to getting online, really simple. We put a lot of bumpers on the process so people, you know, don't have the distraction of doing it. And then once they're up and running, we facilitate, you know, everything from content marketing to paid advertising to just, you know, having an account manager to help you think about what your strategy is.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty difficult process, right? Building websites, and I don't think, you know, agents, they're best at building relationships and selling properties. I'm familiar with the platform that you guys have built. It's fantastic. It makes it quite easy for folk to build their own sites, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, literally, it took us a while. So we're a little over 4 years old, but you can launch a site in under 5 minutes. So we've taken a questionnaire-based approach to launching your site and added lots of features like, you know, royalty-free image so you can have your slideshow up and running without the need of a professional photographer out of the gate. Of course, you can always change those and edit them, but, you know, most people aren't great photographers, even though they have a, you know, 6 megapixel iPhone or Android. They need something that's already set up for them. And that's what we try to facilitate.
Well, we should disclose as well, Seth, that the platform's, it's built for the US and Canadian market, correct?
Yeah. Yes. We're really focused on the US at the moment, but we do have, you know, certainly long-term plans to at least have our paid product internationally. We have lots of folks that use it unpaid without an IDX integration via our plugin. I don't suggest that because it's not the thing that we support a lot. We really focus on the platform.
Cool, cool. Well, let's kick things off pretty generally, I guess, Seth. And this is probably a really big question to start off. But if we look at, you know, from a generalist perspective, where do real estate professionals fall down most when it comes to marketing, in your opinion, being such a passionate area for you? Being marketing?
Well, I'd say that the, you know, two biggest things are consistency. So many people are, you know, hurry up, start, and then get distracted to other things. So marketing is like building a relationship. You don't just show up once and all of a sudden develop a deep and lasting friendship. You have to nurture that over time. And marketing's the same way. Like it used to be, let's say in the Mad Men era, you could spend lots of dollars on branding, like paid advertising, and just say your message over and over again, and you would build a relationship. Now that's still possible, but we're pretty much an ADD society. Like we have so much content and so many distractions. We need to provide value beyond our services. And that is hard for lots of entrepreneurs to understand. And I put real estate professionals in that box is, hey, they've got a lot of things to do every day. And thinking about how to provide extra value on the web so you can be discovered and even in person, that is sometimes a tall order.
Yeah, and I think that's such a great point. I remember one of your episodes of your podcast, Seth, which is a fantastic show. I believe it was with Robert Rose, and you guys were talking about his new book, Experiences.
Yeah,
and very much to your point that the experience or the customer experience and through content experiences is pretty much the only differentiating factor that we have between business these days. And for real estate professionals, how do you think that looks in terms of content? What kind of experiences do you believe that real estate professionals should be looking at through content marketing?
Well, I think at its sort of most base level, you need to answer the questions that your consumers are looking for. And so, you know, we use search engines to answer questions. And if your customers are asking consistent questions, you should have those in a really thoughtful and useful way available on the web and available for your agents to use. And, you know, that should be your calling card as opposed to saying, hey, look at me. You're providing solutions for someone in their time of need. That's a good place to start. I think there's certainly lots of other things you can do as far as creating, you know, more, I'll call them more leisure or entertainment or outside of the sales funnel aspects, you know, whether those be guides or entertainment or videos or, you know, some sort of storytelling that creates an engagement with your target audience. To me, that's the essence of content marketing.
Well, Seth, being a fellow podcaster, I've really admired listening to your show, as I mentioned to you off air. And what is it about podcasting that is so special that no other mediums such as blogging or videos or anything like that brings when it comes to content marketing, do you think?
Well, I think there's two main points is audio is one of the few things that you can do effectively multitasking. And so that means that you can drive and listen to a podcast, or you can run, or you can, you know, some people even work and listen to podcasts. You can't do that with video, and you can't do that with reading. I mean, it really requires your undivided attention to, you know, comprehend anything. The other aspect is, you know, we operate on five senses, and audio has a timbre. Like if you think about, you can recognize the voice of every family member you have and all of your best friends. And that's really powerful. Like once you get accustomed to a voice, you have a kinship to them. And that's where audio and for me, podcasting is so powerful.
I think it's such a bigger market over in the States, Seth. Podcasting is not as big in Australia as it is in the US.
Yeah.
I think it's growing. There's certainly a growing sort of a groundswell of podcasters in, you know, in the kind of doing the kind of thing that you and I both do. So,
yeah.
But I think more and more, I'm seeing more and more real estate agents conduct podcasts now, and it's really exciting. And a lot of them are interviewing their own staff members around the processes that they follow in their business and that sort of thing. But if for our listeners who are thinking, you know, I've never heard of podcasting, or, you know, why would it work for me? I'm a real estate agent. I'm not a content marketer or a marketer in that case. But what would you say, you know, where could they start in your opinion around some of the content that they could produce on a podcast if they're considering it?
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people the first thing to do is listen to lots of different podcasts. I find that it's very difficult to create without understanding the medium and without understanding what's really compelling. It's like, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, and TED Talks have been an amazing tool for me because, you know, when you do your own public speaking, you're in your own private Idaho, right? You sort of, you're self-conscious and you're thinking about what you want to say and how you want to interact with the audience. And it takes a lot to have a perspective. Like it takes years of experience, but with observing others doing it, you can start to have a point of view. Wow, I like someone who's stands in a certain way and they have a certain cadence. That's what I want to emulate. So I would suggest listen to podcasts, see if it's a medium that speaks to you, and see, because if it doesn't, you're going to start and stop. Like you're, right. it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
you know that.
Sure.
And it's work generally on nights and weekends when you're, you know, when you're done with regular work. And, you know, the real value of what I call serialized content, like content that you put out on a regular basis and you don't stop, is when you don't stop. If you just do 10 episodes and it stops, you don't get any long-term value out of that. And so to me, it's like creating a TV show. It's like you should plan on at least 2 years of doing this if you want to have a lasting impact. Otherwise, create some other form of content.
A couple of podcasts that I've heard that real estate agents have done, Seth, they're, like I said, they've interviewed staff members around the processes in their business and educating their clients around that sort of thing. But on the other hand, I see a lot of business owners in the US who are hosting podcasts that are very much around their local community. There's a gentleman in Tempe, Arizona, who's doing a podcast around the local rail line that has been built through the middle of the city. And he talks about the best restaurants and interviews business owners from around that area and that sort of thing. But listening to all these podcasts, how can a real estate business owner, do you think, you know, where should they start in terms of finding out what content works for their local market? What are some ideas that you think they can implore to get that in, get that knowledge into their business?
Yeah, for me, all of this, especially, I think of content marketing as a means to connect with people who might be or are our customers. And so with that in mind, you need to understand your customer. Like who is your target customer? What do they listen to? Like what's important to them? You know, if you live in a coastal town, are they folks that are vacationing or are they working? Do they work on, are they fishermen? Like what drives them and what are the types of problems that they have and the things that they do for entertainment? Because once you can figure that out, then you can go, oh, something I like and am passionate about, my audience also likes. Because you have to have that passion piece too, because we get attracted to folks that are really passionate about stuff.
Yeah.
And also it allows you to have continuity. So I start with the customer, find out what they like. And then I also cross-reference that to what I'm really, really passionate about, because most of this is perspiration, right? There's a little bit of inspiration that gets you going and it's a lot of work. And to get you through the part that's a lot of work, you you need to love it. Mm. And that's how I come to it. Now, there are lots of different examples. I think some of the ones that you listed are great. Like, I've got a friend in Tacoma, Washington that does a podcast called Move to Tacoma. And it's really focused in her niche. You know, it's geared at folks that are looking to move into that area. And she interviews folks that are transplants. She interviews politicians and folks that are doing great things there, artists and, you know, doctors, people who have built businesses. For her, that's interesting, and it works on multiple levels. Yeah. She creates relationship in her local market with people that are influential. So they now know her and like her. And then she also creates an asset for, you know, people that are calling up or her leads that might be interested in moving. She basically just says, hey, you're thinking about moving here. Listen to this. This will give you a sense of what it's like to live in these different areas. It's another way to engage that consumer during their decision-making process.
That is such a great idea. I think that's fantastic. Well, what have been some of the benefits of content marketing for you, Seth, as a you know, as a marketing professional, and not so much just the podcast, but I know you write as well. A blog and a great one at that. But what have been some of the byproducts? I mean, at the end of the day, we've all got customers. We've all got products and services to sell to those customers, but what have been some of the byproducts or the other benefits outside of that as a result of your podcast or your blog or other content marketing initiatives?
So I remember at a very young age reading Dale Carnegie's book and How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yeah. And something that stuck with me that I have continued in all of my endeavors is that the people that you interact with, their first concern is themselves. Mm. And if you can, one, pay attention to what that is, and two, figure out how you can provide value, content marketing is just that. It's really about thinking about the people around you, how you can create some value with them when you're not there. And how it benefits a business is, many times, and I could go into our analytics and tell you like the real manifestation of that. I build trust with people, or anyone can build trust with people by creating content long before you actually meet them. And then when you meet them, they think they know you and they already like you because you've created something valuable for them. It's like watching movies. Like we look at movie stars and there are ones that we like. We watch enough of their movies, we think we know everything about them and we're already like in love with them in some way, shape, or form. It's the transfer of some emotional connection through the creation of value.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful point. And your friend over in Washington, Seth, is very much living by that. And I'm sure when she has that initial phone call from a potential client and says, rather than pitch for business, rather than do that, she's handing over whether it's a podcast interview or a blog or something and saying, look, hey, just read this. This will answer all of your questions. And then fading away into the background until the next opportunity to help arises is such a more powerful way of going about business today, don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we are all web enabled. And regardless of what someone tries to sell us, we want to make our decisions on our own time through our own research. And so faced with the choice of discovering someone online that doesn't really share anything in their web experiences, whether that's with content or their website or whatever they're creating, and someone who's super transparent, who's giving me value before they try to sell me something, I'm going to steer myself towards the person that gives me value because, you know, we still go by the know, like, and trust. Like, we want to do business with people that are nice to us. Sure. And if we like them, we will pay more. We will endure some hardships and get over them. And we will refer them. And that's, you know, I think real estate professionals are very good on a face-to-face basis of doing that. Mm. But what has changed is that the consumer is so distracted that normally the referrals that they would have given just don't hold as much weight anymore. The web holds the weight.
Mm. And, you know, I think that's something that a lot of real estate professionals struggle with. I know for a fact over here in Australia, Seth, everyone that we've had on the show, and we'll get to that question a little bit later when we ask them, each one of our guests, what's the one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success? A lot of the time, it's got to do with, you know, that delayed gratification of a sale rather than sort of pushing business to people is being helpful as opposed to hyping up their services.
Yeah.
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 But Seth, the term content marketing has become a bit of a buzz phrase in the real estate industry specifically over more recent years. And even though both you and I know the practice of content marketing has been around for hundreds of years, can you explain for our listeners what your definition of content marketing is and why do you believe it's so vital to real estate professionals today?
Yeah, I mean, so the idea is that with content, you want to deliver something that is relevant and valuable to attract and acquire and keep your customers. That's what content marketing is about. Otherwise, it's just, you know, creating content for content's sake. If it doesn't engage your consumer and facilitate your business in some way, to me, it's not really content marketing. And I don't have anything against those things. It's just not really moving the needle for a business. And so there are lots of mediums that you can use. So you could use podcasting, you could use your blog, you could use artwork, you could use video, you can use infographics, you can use postcards. I mean, all of those things can be content marketing. The difference sometimes where people get confused is content marketing is not necessarily advertising. Mm. And I think most people want to say, hey, well, I'm creating stuff and I'm saying it's still look at me stuff, as opposed to thinking about it as relevant and valuable. Because if you have those two things in mind, then you're in that realm.
Well, I think, again, just going back to the episode, Seth, that you of your podcast with Robert Rose, and he's just he's ridiculously smart, this guy, right? And
yeah, he's great.
It hurts so much how intelligent this man is, but he summed it up. I completely agree with his what he believes content marketing is that it's the only differentiator that we have left in business today. And you know, you could have real estate A and real estate agent B who both sell houses or both manage property, and they both take a similar commission. And if they're bargaining on price, then you know that's pretty much the way it goes.
That's the fastest way to the bottom, as far as I can figure out.
Absolutely. And, you know, creating experiences, and again, taking from Robert, he says that creating experiences separate and discrete from your service, which is something, again, going back to what your friend in Washington there is doing, is such a powerful tool. Don't you agree?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think that there, I don't know if we're going to cover this. I think there are some block and tackle things that people should focus on first so you can actually be discovered and like, you know, whether you should have a site that people can see on mobile, you should have your social profiles filled out, you should have a decent photo where you're looking someone in the eyes, where they can see you, because we want to look at people, right? We want to know who we're doing business with. Mm-hmm. And then once you do those baseline things, then you can start figuring out how do I add value to a conversation? When I go to a party, am I the person that's the downer when I walk into a crowd, or am I adding some value when I show up? Do I bring a gift for the host? Am I helpful? That's sort of the mantra that you need to have in the world today, because as consumers, we don't really have time for things that aren't going to give us any sort of value.
Mm. Well, what are some of your basic tips, Seth, for real estate professionals to get started with content marketing? And, you know, we've got blogs, we've got podcasts, we've got videos, we've got in-person events. I mean, there's so many different formats or mediums that we can choose from today. Can you include some examples of maybe some companies who are doing content well, so to speak? And, you know, where should we start?
Yeah. So let me start by answering the question first, and then I'll recommend a few folks that you can look at.
Sure. So
the first thing that I would say is start by making a list of the most common questions that your customers ask. And it's pretty simple. You gather whoever in your organization that interacts with customers. So whether that's the admin, the person who's, you know, the buyer's agent or the seller's agent, whoever talks to the people that might pay your rent. And you find out what are the questions that they're asking on a regular basis. Put them all on a whiteboard. You force order the list. And all that means is the question that gets asked the most is on the top of the list. The questions that get asked the least are on the bottom. And then you start with the top of the list and you outline what you think is the best way to answer that. And what I mean by that is you want to create something so good to answer that question that you would be really proud to give it to a customer. Your staff would be excited to use it, and you would give it to a family member because you know it would help you when you couldn't walk them through answering that question. And literally, you don't have to produce a ton of content. You can start there and go through that process to help folks. And that, to me, is the core of what a really good real estate website should be. Is I'm a person who wants to buy or rent or you know, have someone manage my home. I'm not the professional. I don't know everything that's involved. I should be able to go to your site, and I want to discover all that. I want to spend the hour researching everything that you've written to answer all my questions, because I can guarantee you that they're more likely to choose you if you make that readily available than if you force them to call you and try and do that on the phone.
Well, what are some examples of companies that you think are doing content well around in the real estate industry specifically, Seth?
Yeah, so I think that there's a few. I mean, unfortunately, it's farther and further in between. But I'd say if you go to SueAdler.com, she's a broker here in the States. She's in New Jersey. She does a really fantastic job. Another broker who happens to be in New Jersey is Judy Weiniger. Lots of great videos about what it's like to live there. Really great content to answer. Her site is beautiful. Like, it's responsive and it does all the things on all the mobile platforms, whether it be, you know, your iPhone or your Android or your Samsung, whatever it is. If you go to Raj Kassar, and you can put links into the show notes. He does a fantastic job of the high-end luxury videos. So these are tours that of a quality that you don't even see on TV. Like, he hires crews to come in and do videos, and they do sound. I mean, it is exceptionally well done. Now, he's operating in the Lux market, but if I'm going to sell my house in the Lux market, I want to go with a guy like that who knows how to represent my property so I can get the highest and best price. So those are just a few examples of folks. I do have lots of people that I work with that I think do a really great job, but those are a good start.
Yeah, no, really great shout outs there. And we'll have to thank Raj publicly, Seth, for introducing us, actually. So it's he's a great mutual friend. It's very nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. And something that I've seen quite successful with just a couple of businesses here in Australia that I've seen do it, Seth, they've chosen video as their format of choice. That is their content niche or niche, wherever you might be. But what they've essentially done is use video as the catalyst for other pieces of content. So they've stripped out the audio and turned that into a podcast. They've had the audio transcribed and turned that into a blog. And one particular company I've seen do that really, really well is actually in my hometown. And that's what they do. They do 20 videos a month with their videographer, and then they have their content team or their marketing team strip out all the other assets, and they've got essentially 60 pieces of content out of 20 videos. And it's just...
It's amazing, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, highly valuable, all very much going through the process that you've mentioned of, you know, answering all of their customers' questions. But when someone signs up to their blog, they just ask that question: is what is one thing that you'd like to know more about? And I think it's such a powerful, you know, rather than create content that you think people need, going through that process that you mentioned, you're creating content that you know for a fact they want, right?
Yeah, and also you can then take that content and you can respond to that person who joined up onto your email list,
right,
and you can
right.
send them the thing that is not selling, but it's like, if I have a problem and I go to you, I'm like, hey Josh, I'd like to know more about, you know, how do taxes work when I sell my house? And you send me something that's really thoughtful and that explains it. I'm like, wow, this guy's great. I want to go back to him and ask him more questions. That's the beginning. And then the other part that I'll add is you can take all of that content in every social sphere that you work in. So whether that be, you know, in person or a platform, so Google Plus or Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or what have you, when you're interacting with people, when they ask questions or you know, pose challenges on those platforms, you share information that is going to be useful for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good segue into my next question, actually, Seth. Well, when most people think about content marketing, they immediately think social media. There's something that they believe that they have this intrinsic link, and How can I use social media to promote my content? That's kind of what everyone's thinking. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on the relationship between content and social media, particularly for real estate professionals, and maybe a couple of strategies you've seen work really, really well.
Well, if you think about just humans in general needing, you know, we'll cite some recent studies, anywhere from 7 to 15 touches before they're going to make a decision. What social allows you to do is have another network in which to interact with the people that might be your customers. So I'd say for real estate professionals, you need to know where your customers are spending their time. If they're not on, you know, Periscope or whatever the latest, you know, social media platform that exists, whether that's Instagram, which is not so new, but, you know, if they're not on a platform, you may not want to spend your time there. But if they are spending time there, think about that as another way to interact. So, you know, here's an example. You figure you live in a community, regardless of the size. I don't know how popular LinkedIn is in your space.
Yeah, really
space.
Popular. Yeah, okay. Very popular. Yeah.
It's not unheard of for you to connect with someone on LinkedIn after meeting them in person, to share something that might be valuable to them, as long as you're not going to go right into selling mode, to see what they're talking about so you can understand what's important to them, because people tend to share, like, you know, the switching of a job, a marriage, or something monumental in their life, or just their general interest. And then when you're interacting with them, you have so much more knowledge in which to be relevant and useful to them. That's what social media and social networks are really good at. And the content piece is, to me, arrows in your quiver, right? Mm-hmm. When you are interacting, all of those arrows are pieces of value. Mm-hmm. And you choose to use them at the right time in the right place. That's the relevance piece. Like, you don't all of a sudden show up at the party and start talking about yourself and your new job, right? Or your new car. Like, no one likes that person. But in the course of someone saying, hey, they're a car aficionado, talking about cars and asking about theirs and then possibly sharing yours, like, that sequence of events is much more comfortable and actually is interesting to that person, but not to everyone.
No, I think that's so true. Look, I think, you know, something I'm very passionate about, Seth, is building an audience on a platform that you own. And you and I, you know, we drink from that Kool-Aid. I'm taking your words here. I've been listening to your podcast so much. you and I both drink from that Kool-Aid of building an audience on a platform that you own and not renting your audience on social media. And that's something that I'm really, really passionate about, and something we're always educating our clients and whenever we're speaking at conferences and things. What else can you add to that discussion, Seth, around, you know, the importance of building a subscriber base, an email list, rather than just building likes and, you know, tweets and followers?
Yeah. So, I mean, Seth Godin said it best, right? When he wrote a book about, you know, permission-based marketing, and he wrote it 11 years ago. Yeah. So he was early to the game. And the idea is, we need to get our potential customers' permission to market to them, because they can block everything out at this point. And email is this really, really powerful tool that, if I grant you the right to show up in my inbox and on my phone, you sort of have a responsibility to try and make that as useful and interesting as humanly possible. Otherwise, I'm going to hit the spam button or the delete button. But you have that right. And so for us, when I think about just, you know, us here at Playster, one of the most highest converting activities that we do is email. Now, we can't just do email, because the reason people join our list is because we create a lot of content, we add a lot of value, we spend a lot of time on visuals and videos, and we have great customer service, like all of those pieces. But when someone joins our list, 70 to 90% of the process is us trying to figure out and give them as much value before we ask them to do anything. And that's where email is super important. Now, the renting piece, and I have the same conversation that you do with, you know, friends, family, and clients, is Facebook did this thing in the last year and a half where they throttled all of the access to your audience. So you may have spent, you know, a year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years building your audience on Facebook, on your Facebook page, then all of a sudden Facebook said, hey, to get access to those folks, I'm going to charge you. Mm-hmm. That's rented land. Mm-hmm. Means that they have the keys to that playground, which is totally fine. And they're entitled to run their business however they like. But you don't own that content. You actually can't really share a link to that content and use it over again. You don't own the rights to those videos that you upload. You actually don't even own the rights to those photos. They do. They can use them in advertisements. Now, on your own blog and on your own website, you are creating something that you own. You own the domain. You own the images. You can copyright the content. You can share it wherever you want. You can link back to it. You can sell it if you build it up big enough. That's something that's owned land. That is something that you can control. Now, I still believe that those sort of rented land, you know, whatever those platforms are great places to get audience share from and create relationship, but you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket.
I think, one of the things that Jay Bayer says, Seth, who you know quite well, he says, you know, content is fire and social media is gasoline. I truly believe that, you know, the content that you create, you use social media to amplify that content and bring people back to your platform that you own, because that's where the audience is. They may not be on your website initially, but the social media is really a place where you have the opportunity to get people excited about your content, right?
Yeah, and you have to create great content. I mean, it's really the game has, there's more competition. I mean, I'll just put it at that. Like there's just, you know, it's really easy to create content. Like you can take your phone, you can take a video anywhere that you want, and it's at least the quality is decent of the video. You may not be an auteur, but you know, you can create something. And so what that means is to stand out, you have to be some sort of exceptional for the folks that you're targeting. And what that means is just creating the best thing that you can create to answer that question or to entertain those folks.
A really good point, Seth. You're not competing for attention against other real estate professionals on social media. You're competing for attention against everything. And you're right there in between the funny cat videos and the photo of someone's lunch or dinner that they've just taken and posted on Facebook. There you are, you know, beating your chest as a real estate professional saying, hey, look at me. And that's essentially the benchmark, right? You have to be more interesting than my own family and friends.
Yeah. It's interesting, but also targeted. And what I mean by that is you don't have to be interesting to everyone. You just have to be interesting and valuable to the people who might be your customers.
Yeah.
And so knowing that, you can be a lot more focused because you're not trying to be Red Bull, right? And attract everyone who's sort of active in the world. You're just trying to focus on the people in your niche market and your local market.
Seth, take us to today. What are you guys working on over there at Playsted that's getting you guys excited and fired up?
Yeah, we're actually doing quite a few things. So I'd say one of the, you know, the extension of our content marketing is that we're launching another podcast, which is, tentatively titled Marketing Genius, but it's all about the folks in real estate that we work with and that others work with that are doing exceptional things. So, you know, whether that be brokers or consultants or even other tech companies that are building great, you know, technology for this space, we want to dive in and find out what's working and what's not. And then on sort of a product side, we've really expanded the things that we offer. So, you know, as an example, we focused on just creating websites for agents. And now we have websites for agents and brokers. And here they call them MLSs, but the associations that govern the listings.
Yeah.
We've just, you know, announced a product that allows them to build and launch a really beautiful website without a lot of administrative need. And then we also do the same thing for what we call publishers, but large newspapers. So if you think of, you know, the Houston Chronicle or the San Francisco Chronicle or Boston.com, we power the real estate sections of those. So we're trying to create a web experience that really enables the consumer to engage with the real estate professional. And without there being, I'll say, as without that real estate professional having to be a professional marketer, because that's the, you know, there's only so many hats to go around that you can fit on your head as a, you know, as a real estate person, you've got to be able to focus on the things that you do well.
Yeah, I think it's Seth, you guys are one company that, and yourself very much so, that you practice what you preach.
Well, thank you.
And you know, like, I really admire that about companies. There's a lot of people out there that have sort of, you know, promoting that this kind of stuff that we're talking about, Seth, but they haven't really done it themselves. So look, I think it's a really great thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Seth, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week.
Awesome.
This week's fast fact comes from the Steps Real Estate Industry Social Media Survey for 2015, where we interviewed real estate professionals from all around the country about how they are using social media right now. We found that 59% of real estate pros believe that original written content is the single most important type of content for their marketing strategy, as opposed to just 10% who believe that curating other people's content is important to their marketing strategy. I think it's important to think about what you would do if someone started sharing your content. Would you be more likely to share theirs in return if it was relevant to your audience? My guess is that you're a nice person and that you most certainly would return the favor. Collaborating with others who can add value to your audience has the potential to reach far more people than you can otherwise do on your own, and can help you create far more content for your marketing strategy than you could otherwise do by yourself. I encourage you to choose just a few influential people who you believe create fantastic content, share their content with your fans and followers, and make sure that you attribute these people who shared it in the first place. You'll be amazed at how much your audience grows and just how much more content you can offer to your audience. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Seth, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I think I am.
All right. Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I would say it has to be Mark Roberge, and he was the VP of sales at HubSpot. He was a mentor to us when we were starting this company. You know, really generous person who had zero time to spend with me, but spent time with me. And, you know, that is just so telling of a human. And so I'm, you know, forever trying to pay it forward.
I think another company is definitely that practice what they preach over at HubSpot, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Seth, what is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
I like building things. So I have a wood shop. I've taken over my garage many years ago, and I have lots of tools in there, from welding tools to lathes to bandsaws, and you name it. I like making everything from, you know, furniture to go-karts and everything in between.
Seth, what is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
I'd have to say it's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I mean, I read tons of books, so I could give you a very long list, but that book is still as relevant today as it was when it was written, 70 years ago. Yeah. It's a powerful book. And I suggest anyone who's just trying to figure out how to understand the human dynamic, what's important to people and how you can be helpful. I suggest reading that book.
What is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily, Seth, to help you run a better business?
Well, I hate to say Google, but it's the ability to search. I mean, there is no excuse today not to be able to do something because you don't know how to do it. It used to be, hey, you may not be able to find the book, or you might not be able to find the expert. Now with search engines, you can find an unlimited amount of resources on a particular subject down to minutia. You can find diagrams, you can find videos, you can find infographics. So if there's something you want to learn, there is no excuse why you can't figure out how to get started.
Seth, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties that they sell or how many properties that they manage. But if you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they'd like to measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I'd say I hate to give just one. I'm going to expand it just a little bit, but I'd say there's two things in any business. One is you have to be relentless in understanding what's going to drive short-term revenue so you can stay afloat. And then you also, the reverse side of that coin is you have to plan for 2 years to 3 years down the line with how are you going to build, I'll call it your moat around your business. How are you going to make it so it's harder for your competitors to compete than for you? And so content is a great example of that. When you create or spend the 20 hours or however long it takes to create a really good piece of content, there's no immediate payoff for that. You don't get a customer today, but you need to do it and you need to do a lot of it. And that's a differentiator that's very hard for someone to catch up to because they're generally afraid to start because they've got other things to do. But if you can balance both of those things, short-term revenue, because you got to pay the bills, got to keep the lights on, but long-term thinking, those are the businesses that survive.
Seth, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate?
Oh, that's a tough one. Do I have a favorite success? Well, I think it's probably Henry Ford. It's whether you think you can or you think you can't, they're both right. Mm. And I think it's so telling because if you just dissect that, it's true. Like we tell ourselves we can't do things, but the converse could be equally true. Like what's to say that we can? Like, why can't we? And to me, that's sort of the driving force. I don't like the word no. When people tell me no, I try and figure out how to do it.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Seth has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Seth Price. Well, Seth, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to really enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about your business?
So playster.com is probably the best place to find out more about, you know, how we serve real estate professionals. If you go to playster.com/academy, there's about 1,000 articles that we have written that are all educational in nature. And you know, tons of infographics, eBooks, they're all free. So that's sort of what I mean by content marketing. The podcast is craftofmarketing.com. So if you go there, you'll see the folks that I've interviewed. Really, and I just focus on talking to other people that are exceptional at marketing. So I can learn from them, but I can also share that with people. And I love Twitter. That's @SethStuff. I don't know why I chose that as a Twitter handle, but I did and I've stuck with it.
Fantastic, Seth. Well, look, thank you so much. And I might just see you in San Francisco in July for Inman, hey?
We'll definitely have to share a pint.
Sounds good, Seth. Thank you so much.
All right, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.